They want us, or the Red Sea and elsewhere, to make sure that, you know, the spouting of weapons stops. You know, never mind that the Israelis get God knows what from this country, including, by the way, not only phosphorus bombs, but a new experimental weapon that induces cancer in very short order. This has been confirmed, by the way. Anyhow, so very nobly, yeah, the Royal Navy now is meant to, you know, patrol and stop the smuggling of weapons. It seems to me that the Somali pirates are engaged in far more decent, honourable, respectable activities than the Royal Navy. Let us not overlook the fact that Somali so-called pirates, you know, held to ransom some massive Saudi super tanker, and they got some money. Good for them. But the British Navy, what else has it been up to? The British Navy, you may recall, at one point, from its base in Basra, entered the Iranian territorial waters and were appropriately held, kindly treated, and sent back to Britain. What I was very gratified to see recently that while the assault on Gaza was going on, a group of students broke into the British Embassy in Tehran, pulled down the British flag, and hoisted the Palestinian flag. But my real dream is the following. Not that British ships should enter Iranian territorial waters, but rather one day what I would really like to see is Iranian warships sailing up the Thames estuary and anchoring in front of the Houses of Parliament. Now that will be a day. I will never see it, but here it's a fantasy that I like to entertain every now and then. I promise you this will be my last remark. But you know, I owe something to my old man. The first meeting between Mrs. Clinton, and British counterpart, they said, yes, Iran has to be the top of our agenda. Very important, you know, this Iranian threat. You know, the actual threat, actually a threat is potential. The actual aggression and killing is, of course, undertaken by Israel and its allies. But there is this idea that there's Iran in fair. Well, they lay particular emphasis on the nuclear program. You know, supposedly Iran's going to drop nuclear bombs, even on Poland, actually. You know, that's why we have to have this missile defense system situated on the eastern boundaries of Poland, because of this, you know, age-long hatred of Iran for Poland. Well-known historical fact, you know. We have to protect the Poles from the Iranian nuclear missiles. To be serious in conclusion, who are these British? I mean, yes, the Americans, people like Obama, they seem to imagine that ex officio, every president of the United States is the master of the universe. So he tells the Iranians, well, we can do this the hard way, we can do it the easy way. Kenny, as if he were talking to an infant child. I mean, maybe this was part of his community activity in Chicago. He got a job, in some remand home for the Duke of England. But he still, that's the language he uses. But Britain, yeah, Britain is weak. A hundred lads weak may get weaker. But what is really astounding is that the British have a major role, although not widely known, in the origination not only of the abomination that we call Israel, but also its nuclear program. In the time of Harold Wilson, who even among his peers stood out for his enthusiastic support of Zionism, nuclear materials, which formed the basis and the origin of the Israeli nuclear program, smuggled from Britain to Israel. And now Britain, together with that, you know, cartel of criminals that is called the European Union, wishes to stop Iran from acquiring its potential as a nuclear power. I'm sorry, I'll keep on saying, you know, I'm going to finish, but really. There's so much to say. But this will be my conclusion. I'm sorry. Some of you may have noticed that there is now a genre of literature emerging in which Iranian women, Iranian exile women, write memoirs concerning their misery, their miserable life in Iran. You know how terrible it was, and how great it is now to be in America. Listen to the birds singing and so forth. You know, one of the worst and trashiest genres of literature to emerge in recent times. There is one of them, not one such book. Actually, the author is, I think, either about to appear on this campus, or has been here recently, Ru'ya Hakkatian. And her book, I can't remember the whole title, but the first part of the title is Land of No. In other words, Iran, from her point of view, is a land in which there are all kinds of irrational, pointless prohibitions. I guess whatever adolescent foolishness she wanted to engage in when she was growing up in Iran, she wasn't able to do. Well, in one sense, Iran is indeed the land of no, and may long remain the land of no. Iran is the land of no to surrender to global arrogance. Iran is the land of no to the surrender of independence. Iran is the land of no to humiliation, no to betrayal of the Palestinian cause, no to the arrogant dictators of the West. May long remain spoke.